will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Welcome to Leverage Addicts, the podcast for investors looking to maximize returns through leverage. Join host, seasoned mortgage professional and real estate enthusiast, Blandon Lerm, as we explore property investing strategies and learn how to navigate the market to build new wealth.
Welcome back to another episode of Leverage Addict Podcast, where we talk about property investing and finance strategies here in the New Zealand market. I'm your host, Blandon. In today's episode, I want to start by asking you a question that you can reflect on. Have you ever felt stuck in your property investing journey, whether you're at the beginning or you feel like you're in the middle or you're close to the end, like something invisible is holding you back from making the progress that you feel like you should be making? Now, I certainly have felt like that for multiple facets of my life. And one of the books that I've been reading recently actually helped me to reflect on some of these ideas. This book is called Buy Your Time Back. And one of the concepts that it talked about was the five time assassins that hold entrepreneurs back from their own success. Now, I reflected on this concept because I like to read about things like marketing and business and properties. When I try to apply this concept into property investing, I felt it fit quite nicely. So that's what I'm going to share with you today, trying to make those five concepts relevant for property investing and what is holding our clients or new investors from their own success. So in this episode, we are going to be unveiling the hidden enemies within. I call it the five wealth assassins. These are not just obstacles. They are the silent progress killers lurking in your daily habits and decisions. Now, if we take the time to understand these five wealth killers, it's going to allow you to take the first step into liberating yourself and making the progress that you need to make, take that next level on your wealth building journey. So let's dive in. The first concept is the staller. These are people who delay making tough decisions. You know, they get an email and they take days and days to reply because they're like, don't even know what they should be doing with it. Or maybe they buy a course or something like that and then they just don't look at it for a long time. They avoid confrontational decisions and any uncomfortable situations. And by doing this, we miss a lot of opportunities because it's going to lag your property growth. And usually the things that people will say will be like, hey, I don't have enough time to deal with this. I've got other priorities. I'm prioritizing family right now. I'm prioritizing my job, right? They know something is important, but they just give themselves this reason to back out of it. I want to relate this back to like a client story. I have this client where I've been talking to for years, right? They came years ago and they did a refinance through us. You know, I got them a better interest rate, worked on the structure, showed them how to use a revolving credit. That was a good start for them. But for years, because they were in a strong income position and they have equity in their property, I showed them how they could potentially use that to buy properties. And even though they were in that position, and a few years down the track, you know, they had something going on in their family, someone got sick, and they really started thinking about building wealth, you know, building more of a safety net for their family. And they started thinking about all the things that we have talked about over the years. And I said, look, what have stopped you in the past? And he said, you know, what you were telling me seems too good to be true. And so what I saw was that he rather, you know, believing or maybe just taking the time to understand a little bit more, he chose to, you know what, I'm just going to ignore this. It looks too good to be true. I'm not even going to learn about it. So it's something that they didn't decide. But now family's not in the best state. So now they're thinking about this and they could have done that a long time ago. And remember, with investing, it's about time in the market, not timing the market. So getting to those decisions earlier will make a huge difference. The second wealth killer is the micromanagement mindset. Now, this is obsessing about details, right? They struggle to delegate and trust other people. The consequence of this is inefficiencies in the way they're doing things. They miss broader opportunities. And the things they might say is like, hey, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. But there's just so much to do. Sometimes they just never get to a result. Now, I've seen clients like this position, right? So they came to us wanting the advice. And then what happened is giving us the job, but then every single little thing has to be done a certain way. And when we try to have an open discussion, it's like, hey, I thought we're going to have an open conversation about this, but the client became more defensive. They don't want to hear about anything. So at the time, I felt like, okay, I'm not sure why I'm in this process anyway. It's like, am I just doing the mortgage? Like, you can just go to the bank. I prefer to have an open conversation. It doesn't mean I have to be right, but I want to have a two-way conversation. And I thought maybe I'm not the best advisor for the client. It's not the best fit. Funnily enough, just a week later, that client emailed back and said, hey, look, I don't think we should continue to work together. I don't think it's a good fit. I was kind of relieved because I wanted to bring that up as well. And what I thought was the missed opportunity was being open to ideas and seeing how things could be done better, opposed to just doing the one way. This was something that I personally experienced in my business career, right? It's like, okay, how do I grow from, you know, 20 people to 40 people? It's like, if I just stay in my own world, right? Not open to suggestions, just reading books. Like sometimes you read books and you understand something, but it's not easy to apply. And then when you try to apply it, there are small challenges that you might run into. So when I finally got the business mentor, that was when things opened up for me. Having that two-way conversation, having someone who's more experienced, seen a lot more, even though they don't face the same situation exactly like I am, they can sort of synthesize, right? And understand what you're going through and then mirror what their experience have been in those situations and see how they could help you apply those theories into your situation. So the third one that I want to talk about is the penny pincher. Now, this is overly focused on minimizing costs. Like everything is about, you know, how much it costs. They want to save every single penny. What's the consequence of this? Well, overall, chances are you're going to have lower overall returns. You're going to miss high yielding opportunity, you know, because the things that they say will be like, oh, that's too expensive. I'll just go without it. I'll pay for it when I get more progress, which is quite ironic because, you know, usually people make you pay for something because there's value and they will help you make better progress. Otherwise, people won't buy it, right? It's like, why would people continue to pay for something that is not bringing them value? So I remember like one story back in 2021, I looked at this client profile. They came 2 years afterwards and they came in 2023 to talk about like, hey, Blandon, I'm not sure what I need to do now because I overpay for this property in Rotorua. At the time, we're doing a lot of deals in Rotorua with our paid group. So we got a property formula workshop. And essentially what we were buying was high yielding land banks in Rotorua, yielding around 6.5%. So this client, actually, if I looked at the profile, they were looking at this workshop, but they didn't decide to go ahead. They got some ideas on the call for free and just decided to just go, you know what, this is too expensive for me. I'm going to try to do it myself. So these people, they try to get as much free information as possible and they don't see the value in coaching and mentorship. And so they ended up buying this property. When I looked at the numbers, they bought at 4% yield when interest rate was 2.5%. So it would have been broke even, slightly maybe negative, but we were buying at 6.5%. So we had a lot more margin if the interest rate went up. Because interest rate went up, two things happen. One, property price dropped way more, right, than what you anticipate for. Because if you bought at 4% and market dropped, now the market's going to expect a lot higher return. And so having slightly higher yield in the beginning, it's going to give you more resilience. So now I can't help this guy because it's like, well, realistically, you have to just wait or, you know what, see big opportunities. Like if you let it go now at a loss, could it open up for new opportunities that you could make $100,000 back on the next deal? And that's probably the approach to take. You know, either make more money, wait, or just figure out how you can make a loss now but make the money back somewhere else. The fourth one is the excuser, okay? And this is constantly judging without execution, right? They always have an excuse to why they can't do it. And the result is, you know, you have stagnation. You've got the knowledge, but you fail to apply it. They say things like, if I was in the same position, I could have done it. The reason why I'm not doing it is because I don't have time. It's like, I could have done this. That's what they usually say. And it holds you back from connecting with people who are experts as well. Because if you start thinking like that and, you know, people who are really, really good at doing something, as soon as they sense that you're like, okay, well, you're not really open to ideas. Like you just think my success is based on luck. They don't really want to share anything with you. And that's what I've found, right? And if I have a group conversation, you can sometimes just pick out like who that person is. It's like they have these remarks where you just know they're kind of saying like, hey, you got there because you're lucky. And so this is really important. It's just to take that position of humility and be able to receive more information from other people. And you don't have to apply the same thing. Just understand your situation and maybe just do something that is relevant for your situation. Do something of opposed to nothing because you're like, you know what, I don't have time, I don't have this. Like, use the resource that you have and just try and do something instead of nothing. Now, the fifth one is the overnight expert. This is the person who have a quick to claim the understanding of something, or they become an expert with minimal exposure. So believe it or not, this is the personality that I have, right? If I pick up something, I'm like, man, that sounds easy. I can do this. And so I tend to lean on action first and then just do the thing and then make the mistake and learn later. So consequence, the rash decisions will make more losses, right? You tend to lose money. You tend to have slower progress. And over time, you know, like, it is something that I realize this is my weakness. And so I try to compensate for that. But I do believe if you look at the five things, the overnight success or overnight expert is probably the better one of all of them, because at least you're taking action. You could take action and then just reflect on it, right? That's the most important part, because I know if I take action, then I need to slow down to go analyze, okay, what have I done wrong? And then also surround myself with the right people that's gonna allow me to pull back on my optimism, right? So just for an example, one strategy that I'm looking to utilize is development. So instead of having the people who are just as optimistic as me and we're always agreeing, my architect and my engineers are people who are really conservative, so that if I take the really optimistic approach with the planner, we can go back to the architect and the engineer to say, hey, look, what do you guys think? We've got two people who are very optimistic and two people who are really conservative. That's to balance it out. It's going to be butting heads. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, why are they saying this? It just looks like it can be applied, right? If you think about this, you get this from your broker. When you are like, no, I have to borrow this amount of money, I need to maximize it, I need to get more. And you get a broker that tells you, hey, look, maybe you need to slow down a little bit and you need to rethink about the risk. A lot of people will default to like, you know what, I'm just going to go find another broker that I could potentially get what I want, right? This is not the best way for growth, because you'll end up in a position where you just have a bunch of people that are over-optimistic. So this is a really important lesson. Okay. Now, thankfully, to fix most of these wealth killers, you can use one simple method, and it's called the six steps. These are the steps that engineers take to solve problems. And this is what we teach our advisors to go through with our clients, right? If you go through these six steps, it's going to allow you to make at least some progress for whatever wealth killer you might be stuck in. And the six steps are really simple. The first one is you need to clarify what your objective is. Make it something measurable, make it something attainable, make it something timely, right? Define the objective. What is it that you're actually trying to achieve? Sometimes you might just think it's a good idea and then you feel like this is the way to go, but you haven't decided because you haven't defined exactly what you're trying to accomplish here. So once you know what the goal is and objective, then you can define what the problem is, right? When you are thinking like, okay, I don't know how to progress with this, you can actually sit down. What are all your concerns? What are the problems that you're running into? Is it that I'm worried about, you know, if I get bad tenants? Is it worried about like maybe I get the right city, it's not going to have any growth? Is it worried about buying like a bad property? All of these things can be defined. And as a third step, once you have defined those, you can list out all the solutions, right? It's not just one solution. What are the solutions to these? It's like, okay, well, actually, I need to learn more. I need to have a systematic way to approaching these problems. I need to find myself the experts that's going to teach me these things. I need to maybe listen to more podcasts. You know, you can list out all the alternatives. You can read books. Then you can now look at the pros and cons. If you go to podcast, webinar, books, you can look at your historic, I guess, record. It's like, how quick do you make progress by doing those? Like, you can write out the pros and cons. Pros is free. Cons is like, okay, well, actually, I'm not the type of person that just read all of this and then just apply it. It takes me years and years before I take action. Then you know that's a con, right? If you have someone, what I have learned in the past, potentially, if someone I work with mentoring me and giving me clearer steps, I'm going to go way faster. You know, what's the cost of that? And what's the cost of this? You can list out all of your alternative options, the pros and cons. Then the fifth and sixth step is really important, because fifth is setting up an action plan, writing the steps to making this happen. And then the sixth step is to reflect and reiterate. Because after you do all of this, most important thing, right? Like I said, if you're an overnight expert like myself, the best thing to do is spend the time to go, you know what? I'm going to spend 3 hours to reflect on this. Write my myself an essay, right? I actually do that. I have a lot of Google Docs that have my reflections on it. And this is really important because it's going to allow you to learn faster. And if you look at the most successful people and people who are high performers, athletes, they watch their tapes and reflect what they could do better. This is one simple thing we can take away. So hopefully you guys found that helpful. And if you did find something useful, all I ask for is one thing, just to share this episode with someone who could benefit from it as well. Hopefully that shed some light on what's holding you back from your property success and see if there's something you can apply, right? Remember, awareness is like the first step to change. And if you recognize any of these traits in yourself, so if you talk to our advisors, they will be able to help you make progress. Don't forget to subscribe as well if you're watching the YouTube. And if you want more insights, continue to listen in. And I appreciate your time. I'll see you guys in the next episode.